Let us pray.
Lord Jesus, in this hour, let us hear again your call,
follow me.
Accept this offering to embrace what we have and who we are for your name's sake. Amen. For some of you who were on the women's retreat with me a couple of weeks ago, you're not going to be surprised that I start this sermon with a quote. They know that I like quotes a lot. So here it is. Here's the quote this morning. It is the highest responsibility to preach against Christianity. Say that again. It is the highest responsibility to preach against Christianity. This is a quote from the Danish philosopher Søren Kierkegaard. Now, you might want to ask me right here, was he a Christian? Far from being anti-Christian, Kierkegaard loved Jesus, and his great purpose in life was to renew Christianity. So why then would he write in his book, Works of Love, it is the highest responsibility to preach in Christian sermons, yes, precisely in Christian sermons, against Christianity? Well, for the Danish philosopher, Christianity should probably come with a warning label, a clear and unmistakable notice of the dangerousness of faith in Jesus Christ. And why not? We put warning labels on everything from machines to medicine bottles to even the cup of coffee I drank this morning at McDonald's. Christianity at its best threatens to change your life. Shouldn't it also come with a warning label? Perhaps also our Bibles should come with labels. Warning: people who live the life advocated by this book may suffer persecution and death. This is absolutely why the Reverend David Berrigan said, if you are going to follow Jesus, you had better look good on wood. Historically speaking, Christians who genuinely conformed their lives to that of Jesus Christ didn't fare very well. This is exactly why Søren Kierkegaard felt it was of the highest priority to preach against Christianity. Kierkegaard was in favor of the sort of warning Jesus gave his disciples in our gospel reading this morning. Paraphrasing this, Jesus began to show his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem and he was going to suffer and he was going to be killed. This was even more distressing to his disciples to hear than it is for us, because of course we have the hindsight offered by the resurrection. We know the whole plan can and did work. But Peter and the other disciples only knew that Jesus' talk of suffering and death did not sound like God's plan to them. Peter, in a rare, subtle move, takes Jesus away. And when he's alone with him, he says, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. And Jesus turns and says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Now, this is the same Peter who, in our last Sunday's reading, Jesus called him Peter the Rock, on which he would build his church. In just moments later, Peter goes from solid rock foundation to stumbling block. Sound familiar? Whenever we try to hinder God's will, we become a stumbling block. The Greek word for stumbling block is scandalon. A stumbling block is literally a scandal. Coming to terms with the fact that God loves us so much that Jesus would suffer and die rather than give up on that love is certainly a scandal. We Christians are called to embrace the scandal of the cross, to pray for God's will in our lives and move on to live that life of faith. So what does it mean actually to take up your cross and follow Jesus? A common phrase that we so often hear is, well, I guess I'll just have to bear my cross. Nobody else is going to bear that cross for me. Why we all have to take up our crosses isn't terribly clear. God just wants to burden us, likes it when we suffer. That hardly seems likely, especially since Christians are the ones who teach about the sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. We need add nothing to what Jesus has already done. And so I think Christ came to take our burden upon him, not to pile on more weight on us. But we still have our crosses. We get sick. Our children get in trouble. We lose jobs. We lose the ones we love. And we are lonely and we're afraid. So then, is taking up our crosses more about patience and endurance in hopeless situations? Should we just grin and bear it and put on that Christian smile as we wait out our situation? Is that what it means to be a follower of Christ? May I suggest that taking up your cross is not about patience. It is not about endurance or looking like a joyful Christian. Actually, it's not about any of this. It's about this embrace. Embracing the scandalous love of Jesus Christ. Don't hide from your cross. Don't deny your cross. Don't change the subject every time your cross comes up. Take it up and let it go. Don't let your cross turn you into anything less than the human being God has made you, no matter what it takes from you in the end. 2 weeks ago, 15 of us women here at St. John's spent less than 24 hours together at St. Anne's Convent. A short pilgrimage, as it was, turned out to be an incredibly important moment in our journeys with God. We worshiped and prayed. We sang and we listened. We laughed and we cried. And as Paul would say, we rejoiced and we wept with each other. But something much more important happened on this retreat. You see, we all came carrying those personal crosses with us. But we didn't try to hide them or pretend they weren't with us. We began to embrace them. One of our exercises on the retreat was to pick out a quote or saying and share it with the group. One quote I shared was this: remember that everyone you meet is carrying a heavy load. Just another way of looking at carrying the cross. We all came home from the retreat still carrying our crosses. But the load was just a little bit lighter. As healing came by sharing with one another our stories of faith and hope and love. What we learned, I think, was that our individual crosses, if embraced, becomes the way. It empowers us in ways that we would have never imagined if we were well or rich or not lonely or had our old job back. Another thing we learned was that the public presence of our cross empowers other people. Some help you carry it. Some watch you and pray for you. Some remember how much they love you. Some of them will literally take down that cross off of you and gently lay you down to rest. They will never forget your cross, and it will help them bear their own. And some of them will become activists on behalf of those who cannot embrace their own. You too can find your own way to take up your cross and follow Jesus. It begins with showing love and compassion. Jesus says that if you are willing to lose your life in this way, you will find it. Being a Christian is dangerous stuff. I absolutely recommend it. But here is the warning. People who follow Jesus may suffer. That is, if we get it right. If we actually live out the love and compassion Jesus wants us to live in service one to another. Amen.